أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته، ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى، الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا. صلوات. The prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise the A'imma alayhim as-salatu wa-salam, were trying to make the people lovers of Allah. That means they wanted to cultivate the phenomena of hubb in the hearts of the people. Not only we fear Allah and have taqwa al-qulub, but they wanted to make us higher than that and become the lovers, having the muhabbat and love of Allah in our hearts, because the status of love is way superior than the status of taqwa. We discussed earlier in the night of 19th that أفضل الأعمال في هذا الشهر الورع عن محارم الله. What the Holy Prophet has said in response to the question of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, when he asked him at the end of Khutbatun Sha'baniyya, when Prophet delivered his famous khutbah regarding the month of Ramadan, which is called Khutbatun Sha'baniyya. And Amir al-Mu'mineen had asked him, what is the most superior of the actions in this month? And that's where the Prophet had replied that afzalul a'mal al-wara'u an maharimillah. The most superior of all the actions is keeping away from the harams of Allah. Well, keeping away from the harams of Allah makes us muttaqi. Isn't it right? And the ayat of Quran has said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe, fasting has been made a fariza upon you, the way it had been made a fariza on those before you, so that لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Maybe Allah says that maybe you become, which I am paraphrasing this translation and all the rest of the narrations in ayat which I read, in my own words. So Allah says that so that maybe you can become muttaqi. So we are trying to become muttaqi. We are trying our best through siyam that we end up having siyamul wara wa taqwa. That our fasting is not from food and drinking only. Our fasting is the real fasting which requires keeping away, having ijtinab, abstinence from the harams. But this is not the goal. What I'm trying to mention tonight is that was not the goal. The prophets and imams were taking us way beyond that goal. They were trying to make us muhib and lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find when Zi'lab asked the question to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam that hal ra'ayta rabbaka, have you seen your Lord? Imam Ali alayhi salam replies back to Zi'lab, as it's narrated in Nahj al-Balagha, afa a'budu ma la ara, shall I worship what I do not see? So basically what he's trying to say is that I haven't worshipped Allah without seeing Him. So I see Allah and worship Him. This is what he's trying to say. So all Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen used to see in his life was nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا إِلَّا وَرَأَيْتُ اللَّهَ قَبْلَهُ وَبَعْدَهُ وَمَعَهُ وَفِيهِ. Isn't it right? I haven't seen anything except that I saw Allah before it, after it, along with it, in it. What does it mean? It means nothing but that all he saw is Allah. And this can only happen if the person has deep love towards Allah. That's what we are discussing tonight, love of God. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His awliya, His beloved servants, want to make us muhibbeen and the lovers of Allah. So we consider Allah to be our mahbub. Not just we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like the slaves fear their masters. So we find that our urafa have classified that love is not part of the hikmatun nazariya. Instead, love is part of hikmatun amaliya. So hikmat is divided into two: theoretical wisdom, hikmatun nazariya, and practical wisdom, hikmatun amaliya. So loving is not part of the theoretical wisdom. There are lots of people and there are lots of scholars as well. Isn't it right? Theoretically they know about what we need towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how much we should love Him. Theoretically a lot of people know about this fact. But when it comes to our practical amal and obediences and our practical behaviors and policies in life, that's where we find there are only few who are falling in the category of lovers of Allah. The muttaqeen are a lot as compared to the lovers. Obviously muttaqeen are very, very less as compared to the majority of the people on the planet. La tuti' aksara man fil ard yudhilluka an sabilillah. Isn't it right? Majority on the face of earth are mudhil, misguiding people. Majority on the face of earth are misguiding. Obviously they are zalimeen. But there are very few who are muttaqi. But among the muttaqeen, there are very few people who are muhibbeen and lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's go and see in the history, one example from the history of Anbiya, Hazrat Ibrahim ala nabiyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, is not only having ishq and deep love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he wants the people to end up loving Allah. So when he's talking to he's doing the istidlalat in front of the mukhalifin, so he says Surah Al-Baqarah verse 258, Rabbi alladhi yuhyi wa yumeet, in front of Namrud he makes his argument, my Lord is the one who gives life and death. This is a huge burhan that no power can give life and no power can give death to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, he's the muhyi and he's the mumit. So this is an unshakable evidence in Burhan that he's furnishing in front of the tahut of his time in order to invite towards the tawheed. He still did not understand the highness of the statement of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and continues his tamarrud and tughyan and istikbar and rebellion against God and arrogance because of his ignorance. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam furnished the second evidence. Now he says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِ بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ. And right, so the Ibrahim Islam says, certainly Allah brings the sun from the east, so you bring it from the west. Now the kafir became mabhut. He was answerless, he cannot reply. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is doing the itmam al-hujjat, not only on him, but on all the rest of the silly people surrounding the murud and supporting the tahut of the time. Tahut's establishment never survives on one person. Doesn't work like this. There are a whole bunch of ahmak people or those who are selling their faith, supporting the administration and doing various tasks on behalf of the tahut, and that's how everything works together and chips in and the things move forward for the batil agenda. So he's doing ihtijaj and doing his argument and fulfilling the evidence. Now these ihtijajat, our scholars say, can fall in the category of Burhan al-Imkan or Burhan al-Nazm or Burhan al-Huduth. And we did discuss all the three. If you attended the classes when we were talking about Usuluddin here, I think on the Tuesday nights, we did talk about several Barahin and evidences, and we talked about Burhan al-Imkan, the evidence of possibility, and Burhan al-Huduth, and the Burhan al-Nazm. So we did discuss that in detail, and I'm not going to go and repeat those things again tonight. So these ihtijajat of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam fall in the category of either Burhan al-Imkan or Burhan al-Nazm or Burhan al-Huduth. But this is where he's talking to the people. But when it comes to himself, he's not using none of these evidences. Instead, when it's about himself, look at how he talks. He says, Surah Al-An'am, verse 76, La uhibbu al-afilin. I don't love those who set. That means, that means what he's trying to say, that I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because Allah has no ghurub, Allah never sets. We have the sun setting, we have the stars setting, isn't it right? So anyone that sets is not mahbub, because Allah never sets. He is the only one who deserves to be loved. So when he talks about his own self, he brings the evidence which is related to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is from the perspective of Urafa. Because when the Urafa look at the ayat of Quran, the ayat is the same ayat. We don't have a new Quran. We have an alim and we have an arif. The Quran is one Quran. The ahadith are the same ahadith. We don't have any multiple Qurans and we don't have any new ahadith arriving. Isn't it right? So whatever is there is in front of us. But the perspectives and the fahm, the understanding of ayat is so much different from one alim to the other and one alim towards the arif, who has the ma'rifat of Allah. So we find that the ayat of Holy Quran which I recited in the beginning of my speech, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. Now in this ayat of Holy Quran, which relates to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, that they are giving food, ala hubbihi, in his love. La nuridu minkum jaza'an wala shukura. We don't need no rewarding from you nor gratefulness. In other words, so they don't expect and they don't want. This not part of their niyat. This not part of their hadaf and goal to for anyone that we do good towards, and the person should say thank you to me, being grateful towards them or giving them any reward. Innama nut'imukum li wajhillah. We are the only reason why they are giving it is for the sake of is wajhullah. So this kind of behavior of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Now in the tafsir, you find there are various mufassireen and ulama who are doing the tafsir of the same ayat differently. How the difference arrives in the understanding. That's what we constantly I say in my speeches, that the mujtahideen al-fuqaha yajtahidun fi fahm al-Islam. That's where the difference comes. It makes logical sense. Because understanding, they do the ijtihad and understanding of the Islam. Not in Islam itself. In the understanding of Islam, understanding of every human has to be different. Because every human is different. It makes sense. So the same ayat of Quran has been interpreted in so many different ways by various mufassireen. Now, some of the mufassireen say, well, let me first read another ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah as well, 177, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ, and he gave the money on his love. So the same controversy applies on حُبِّهِ, the dhamir and the pronoun of the word حُبِّهِ in both the verses returns to where. So إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ La, you know, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. So both verses have the word حُبِّهِ, his love. Whose love Allah is talking about? Now every alim has a different understanding of the ayat. Now some of us then say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's talking about the love of money. So, love of infaq, giving the money. Love of ita, love of infaq. Because Quran is already asking the good doers to give away from the things that they love, isn't it right? Quran says that لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never reach the birr unless you give from what you love. So infaq in Islam has to be from the beloved things only. Things that we love, we give from those things. That's how we become part of abrar and good doers. If you're giving from things that we love. Now, so we have to consider infaq and giving away in the path of Allah as something mahbub in our eyes. So, not like the A'rabul Jahiliyya, those Badawi Bedouins of desert dwellers, Bedouin people who were ignorant about Islamic values, and they used to consider infaq as a damage upon their finances. So Quran says, Surah At-Tawbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verse 98, says, مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ وَمِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مَا يُنْفِقُ مَغْرَمًا. So there were the A'rab, there were the Bedouin people who used to consider spending as a harm and damage to their finances. So why to spend in the path of Allah is going to harm your finances. This is the tafakkur, this is the way of thinking of the ignorant Badawi desert dwellers, which Allah is condemning that way of thinking. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to give the money ala hubbihi. Now what is the hubbihi? Whose love? Now mufassireen say this is the love of ita and infaq. My teacher was saying, Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah, he was saying in his tafsir that mutawassiteen, the medium level mufassireen, whose level of ma'rifat of Islam and understanding of the values and concepts of Islam is of the medium level. These kind of mufassireen are saying they are doing the irja'ul dhamir, they are returning the pronoun towards infaq. That means يُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّ الْإِنْفَاقِ. They are giving the food, you know, for the sake of the love of giving and ita. They love the giving away, or some of the mufassireen say the dhamir returns back to ta'am.
Whereas those who are awhadiyin from Ahlul Ma'na and Ahlul Irfan, they are returning the dhamir back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. That means they are giving the food on the love of Allah. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. Likewise, آتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّ اللَّهِ. And the one who gave the money on the love of Allah. This is about the perspective. This is about the perspective of the understanding of the scholar, and depending of the highness of his qalb and ma'rifat of Allah in his qalb. This is what it's all about. So we find that our Ahlul Bayt and the Anbiya alayhi salam have been trying hard to bring the hikmatun nazariya and the hikmatun amaliya, the theoretical wisdom and the practical wisdom, both into our spirituality. And when the practical wisdom comes after the theoretical wisdom, a person will automatically end up becoming a muhib and lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look at the dua of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, where he says, please say salawat. So Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam says, Allahumma inni as'aluka an tamla'a qalbi hubban laka wa khashyatan minka. Oh my Lord, I ask you to fill up my soul, my qalb, hubban laka, with your love. Amir Mumin alayhi salam says in Dua Kumail, you know, he says that Ilahi sabartu ala azabika فَكَيْفَ أَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ فِرَاقِكَ. This is the maktab, this is the institute of love. You know, this is how, when somebody asked Imam al-Khumayni radhiyallahu anhu, what are the best du'as of Ahlul Bayt that you like? Well, all the du'as are good and best. But obviously from the perspective, he was Ustaz al-Urafa. So many of his students are Urafa today. Isn't it right? Ustaz of 350 plus mujtahideen and fuqaha. 350 plus students are mujtahid because of his Bahth al-Kharij. So he's the right person to ask the question, isn't it right? And he replies back, in my opinion, the best du'as of is Munajatun Sha'baniya and Dua Kumail. Munajatun Sha'baniya is so high in its meanings. Anyone who has a little understanding and he goes through the meaning will understand how high the du'a is. It's obvious. It's obvious that it's so high. And like he said, I did not find, I'm quoting what he said, I did not find any dua in all the ad'iya which has been recited by all the a'imma alayhi salam without exception, except Munajatun Sha'baniya. So Munajatun Sha'baniya has been recited by all the a'imma alayhi salam without exception. And the second is Dua Kumail. And the reason he says why he loves Dua Kumail, because Amir Mumineen did not talk about Jannat in the whole Dua. He doesn't care about the Jannat and the rewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Dua is love-based Dua of Amir Mumineen alayhi salam. It's entirely based on his love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The understanding depends on the understanding of the person. So he says, Ilahi sabartu ala azabika. I did sabr, you know, on your punishment. In other words, even if I do sabr on your adab, فَكَيْفَ أَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ فِرَاقِكَ. So how can I be patient over staying away from you? That means if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to give adab to a person in the Jahannam, obviously he would be away from Allah. Isn't it right? Now, keeping, yani adab is lesser a punishment in the eyes of Imam Ali alayhi salam than staying away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَكَيْفَ أَصْبِرُ. How can I be patient over your firaq, over getting separated from you? This is about the hub of Allah. That's where our a'imma alayhi salam tried to take us there. So Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, لَا نَعْبُدُهُ إِلَّا حُبًّا وَهَذَا مَقَامٌ مَكْنُونٌ لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ. We do not worship him except for the sake of love, and this is the hidden level. وهذا مقام مكنون لا يمسه, no one can touch it except the purified. So that's where the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam belong, to the level of the deep ishq of Allah.
This is beyond the level of taqwa, brothers and sisters. It's still very easy as compared to the level of love. It's very easy to become muttaqi. Now obviously, أفضل الأعمال في هذا الشهر الوراء عن محارم الله. The most superior is to staying away from the harams of Allah. One of the teachers was saying that if a person cannot do a sin, we have no dalil to believe that if he abstains from the harams, this is the afdalul amal, the most superior of his actions. We have no dalil to believe that. Afdalul amal, the most superior of the actions, will be in the case when you are able to do the haram and still you are not doing it. If you are unable, lots of people are unable to do the haram, but deep down they have the wish to do the haram. It's just that they don't have get a chance to do it. As soon as they get a chance, you find them showing their true colors. So for those who did not get a chance, and because they didn't get a chance, they couldn't do a sin, we have no dalil and Islamic evidence to believe that them avoiding these sins because they didn't get a chance, this is the most superior of their actions. No, we have no dalil and no evidence to believe in that. It's the most superior in the case of those people who are able to do the haram, but then still they are exercising ijtinab and abstinence. So there are lots of people who are like this. When the time comes and they get the chance, they have been condemning the zalimeen in their life and those who did zulm on Ahlul Bayt. When it comes to themselves, whatever domain they have in their control, they start to do their own zulm in their own domain. What would we do if we had to end up encountering with Ahlul Bayt? Is that right? That's like Mamun al-Rashid condemning those who usurped the Khilafat of Amir al-Mu'mineen in his own time. He's usurping the Khilafat as well from Imam Rida alayhi salam. So wasakantum, Quran says wasakantum fi masakil ladina zalamu. So when we get a chance, we also sit in the place of the zalimeen. We also end up doing the zulm as soon as we get the chance. So we find Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam did get the chance. So when after the fatah and victory of Basra, he sees the Baytul Mal, the gold and the silver coins, dirham and dinar, and he says, Ya Safra, Ya Bayda, Ghurri Ghairi. Yellow and white. Yellow and white is a metaphor and kinaya used for the silver and gold, the dirham and dinars. Ghurri Ghairi. Go deceive someone else other than me. This is how Amir Mumin is. He had access to the money. Not that he didn't have access. But this is how not only he's exercising the taqwa, but he is showing the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every matter of his life. So we find that Amir Mumin alayhi salam says the prophets came so they make the people lover of Allah. So, and the love of dunya is the obstacle in the way of the love of Allah. So we find afdalun nas, the most superior of all the people, man ashaqa al-ibadah, is one who loves the ibadat. So tuba liman ashaqa al-ibadah, the one who loves the ibadat deserves to be congratulated. So we find that this is how Amir Mumin alayhi salam was. And when he was delivering his sermon, he asked from Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, kam madha min shahrina hadha, how many days have passed from this month? And Imam Hassan replies back, 17. Then he asks Imam Hussain alayhi salam, kam baqiya min shahrina hadha, how many days have left from this month? And Imam Hussain replied back, 13. And Imam Ali started to cry. He was waiting for the Ashqal Akhirin, the most shaky person of the final generations to come. Some of the narrations say Imam Ali al-Salam stopped putting khidab and color over his beard 1 year before his shahadat. When somebody said, why don't you put the khidab? He said, I am waiting for the other khidab. Then the prophet prophesies that your beard will be red with the blood of your head. So we find that prophet cried over Imam Ali alayhi salam. When prophet told him about the shahadat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, look at, prophet is crying from, prophet cried from Imam Ali alayhi salam, but Imam Ali alayhi salam is asking the question, afi salamatim min dini? That means my shahadat is going to happen when, while my deen is protected. Look at the concern of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Why he is so superior? And Prophet replies back, "Naam fi salamatin min dinika." Yes, in the salamat, in the protection of your religion, your religion will be protected. This is what concerns Imam Ali alayhi salam. He doesn't care about his death. So this is, this kind of a father raises this kind of children. Look at the azmat and look at the love of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So we find that an unknown person came as Imam Ali alayhi salam in the night before the 21st, which is his shahadat. When that night came, and Imam Ali is lying, obviously he is so much injured. He's so much injured. Some of the narrations say this handkerchief which was tied over his forehead was yellow colored handkerchief, and people cannot distinguish the color of the skin of Imam Ali between the color of this handkerchief, because the skin was also pale and yellow. How much weak Imam Ali has gotten. Some of the narrations say in the month of Ramadan he was eating only 3 luqma. Not full. He never ate full throughout his life. But even in the month of Ramadan, he was eating so lesser. This is how he is preparing himself to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is his love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that one unknown person comes and says, "Let rahimakallahu ya Abul Hasan, kunta lil mu'minina aban ra'ufa." May Allah have his, that's a mazmoon riwayah. May Allah have rahm over you, O Abul Hasan. You have been a merciful father to his mu'mineen. And he said that and he went away. And after a while, somebody asked that who was this unknown person who gave this kind of remark for Imam Ali. And he was told that this was Hadrat Khidr alayhi salam, who came and he said this kind of statement. Amir Mumineen alayhi salam, his injury was so hard, his injury was so deep, that the jarrah, the surgeon who was called into the house, he saw the traces of the brain in the injury. When he put something inside the head, inside the skull of Imam Ali, he found some of the traces of the brain. That's how far the injury has gotten. And some of the narrations say that Umm Kulsum asked the jarrah, "Why don't you say that my dad will become cured?" And he did not reply except by saying, "Do the wasiyyat." Imam Ali has started, he did the wasiyyat. So he gives the hand of Zainab towards the hand of Imam Hasan alayhi salam. The hand of Umm Kulsum towards the hand of Imam Hasan alayhi salam. The hand of everyone was given towards the Imam Hasan's hand, except Abul Fadl Abbas. His hand was not given to Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. And Hadrat Umm al-Baneen, when she inquired from Imam Ali alayhi salam, he gave the hand of Abul Fadl Abbas towards the hand of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And Mawla was saying, our scholars say, that you know, you have to support Hussein. When Imam Ali alayhi salam was delivering his sermon, and he was told that it's 13 days left from the end of the month, that's where Imam Ali started to cry over Imam Hussein. Imam Ali did not cry over himself, he started to cry over Imam Hussein. And he said that Hussein, he talks about Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that how he will be killed, ghariban, wahidan, farida, how Imam Hussein will be alone, lonely. And obviously, this is the time when, see, Imam Ali is so much concerned about Imam Hussein. When Imam Ali was buried into the grave, Imam Hasan said the 7 takbirat and later on buried the janazah of his father. The grave he opened, he found the plaque written there,
This grave has been dug up by Nuh. It was 700 years before the Tufan. The grave of Imam Ali was dug up by Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. But we would like to say to Mawla Amirul Mumineen, at least your son is burying you by giving the ghusl and kafan and putting you into the grave. But let's go to the Maidan of Karbala. Let's go to the Maidan of Karbala, where Hussein ibn Ali, where your son, his janaza is lying there. His janaza is lying there on the Maidan of Karbala. And nobody is coming for the tasalla, for the tasalli and taziyat for Ahlul Bayt. Somebody is bringing the firewood to burn the tents and khiyam. Somebody is bringing the fire. Someone is pulling the bed underneath Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Somebody is putting the spears and niza towards the ladies of Ahlul Bayt and taking away their hijab. And we find the janaza of Abi Abdullah is lying there for 3 days without being buried.
Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa sayya'lamu al-lazina zalamu ayyaman qalabiyan qalibun. Ya Hussein. Have any